Well, amen. Thank you for that song. Have your Bibles this morning. Turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. And I'm so thankful this morning for technology. I thought about this morning that 20 years ago, we wouldn't be able to do this during a pandemic like we can today, because 20 years ago, we were still switching from dial-up to broadband, and many people had dial-up, so we'd be getting kicked off at America Online, and a lot of stuff like that would happen when you're sitting there with, I forget the dial tone of that, but so thankful this morning that everybody can connect through social media as well as Facebook and website, things like that. Good stuff there. Joshua chapter 5 in your Bibles. And we're going to look in verse 13, 14, and 15. Three verses I want to share with you this morning as it concerns facing your Jericho and the fact that we don't have to face our Jericho alone. And I've been looking at the theme of having heart. And we don't win by the size of our stature, but by the size of our heart. During times like we have right now, and I'm speaking to somebody who maybe you're a little worried, a little anxious right now. Maybe you're down. Your mind may be playing tricks on you. I want to challenge you this morning to take hope. Take hope in the Lord Jesus and be an encouragement to Him. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped, and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Facing your Jericho. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray now that this message would be a blessing and a hope and encouragement to somebody this morning. I pray you bless in Christ's name. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, Tuesdays and Fridays, I've been doing a Bible study online, and we've been looking at the idea of running your race, and that every race, every journey is different. We all have that course, that journey the Lord set before us. And I said that you can't run anybody else's race. You must run your race. I want to add to that this morning. I'm going to talk about that more this week, but I want to add to that this morning in the fact that every person has a calling, a moment in their lives where their calling meets the journey of their preparation. Winston Churchill said it like this: "There comes a certain moment in everybody's life, a moment for which that person was born. That special opportunity, when he seizes it, will fulfill his mission, a mission for which he is uniquely qualified. In that moment, he finds greatness. It is his finest hour." I love that quote Winston Churchill said because it's so true. Everyone is born for moments in their lives to be used of God. It seems as if all of life is training ground for that moment, and it could be several moments depending on the journey, the course. And sometimes people seize the moment, and other times people reject and they miss the moments because it gets too hard, because it gets too problematic. Maybe it requires too much risk. It requires getting out of your comfort zone. It requires too much sacrifice. You got to lay it all on the line at times. For some, that moment happens early in their life. For others, late in life. Every journey is different. Every life fits into the overall plan of what God is trying to do in this world, redeeming men and women to his son, Jesus Christ. I thought about Moses. Moses' moment for which he was born did not happen until he was 80 years old. Then after that, another 40 years of doing what God had called him to do. 80 years of training and preparation for Moses. I thought about David, anointed as a teenager. He was 30 years old when he seized that moment for which he was born to be king of Israel. I thought about Esther for such a time as this. She was queen of Persia. I thought about Paul, the apostle, back when he was Saul of Tarsus. He had accomplished much to say he had fulfilled his moment, but until the Lord saved him and changed him and filled him with his spirit, he became what he was called to do, an apostle to the Gentiles. Let's look on a secular level. I thought about Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, for 51 years, had failure after failure after failure, and then he's president of the United States at a crucial, critical time in this nation's history. Sure, life is hard. Life has problems. Life has obstacles. It requires commitment. But I admire people who seize the moment, who seize every opportunity, and they take those opportunities and are used of God to prepare that person for that purpose in their life. Remember, every journey is different. So with this thought in mind this morning, what is it that keeps us from running our race? What is it that keeps us from seizing our moments, the moments of life, and seizing the day? What is it that can keep us from going forward for the Lord? One word: obstacles. Obstacles in our lives can either be distractions to get us off course, or we can look for the opportunities in the midst of the obstacles, depending on how you view them, by faith or by sight. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about a man, his moment, his obstacle, represented by a city with huge walls, and that city was Jericho. So in our text this morning, let's consider Joshua. Think about Joshua for a moment. He had been prepared for this moment he's close to 90 years old now, and he's been prepared for this moment. Think about this. Joshua grew up as a slave in Egypt. He then became Moses' servant. Then he became Moses' spy. Then he became Moses' assistant. Now he's Moses' replacement, as Moses had gone on to heaven. At the ripe young age of 90 years old, Joshua is now seizing the moment. And at this point in our text, Moses has just passed off the scene, having led Israel for 40 years. God commissions Joshua in chapter 1 to lead the people into the land, to defeat the enemy, and to claim the inheritance. That was Joshua's mission. That was his calling. That was God's plan for his life. Now, Joshua is a type here, a picture of Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation of faith, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, who has won the victory, who now shares his spiritual inheritance with you and with me. Though Joshua was a type, a picture of Christ, he was still human like you and me. He still had the same natural tendencies as you and me. He still had the same fears as you and I do. The same hang-ups, the same brokenness that you and I have. To this point in this text, as we just read, this has happened. In chapter 1, God commissions Joshua and the people encourage him. Chapter 2, they spy out Jericho. Rahab hides the spies. Chapter 3, they cross the Jordan River. Chapter 4, they set up memorial stones. Chapter 5, to this point, the men are circumcised. The reproach of Egypt has been taken away. The Passover is held. Now they're ready to go and fight Jericho. Now they're ready to begin to conquer the promised land. But here's the question: is Joshua, the leader, is he ready to go? Put yourself in his shoes for a moment. You've just assumed leadership from Moses. And at this point, Moses is very revered in the eyes of the people. You alone are faced with a big challenge. The challenge of your life: conquer Canaan, beginning with Jericho, a city with huge, intimidating walls, an obstacle in the way of God's promise and God's calling. And throughout the Bible, every time we see a person on the surface that's faced with an obstacle, a challenge, we know from Scripture they're not going at it alone. they had God on their side. They don't have to face their quote-unquote Jericho alone. In your personal life, what is your Jericho? It could be the repercussions of the circumstances that we're dealing with right now. It could be the guilt or the sin or the anxiety that's weighing you down in life. Something in your life, there's a spirit, it's keeping you from making a spiritual, a personal breakthrough in your life. What is your Jericho? In our church, as a church family, when we all get back to church here down the road, we're going to have to face a few obstacles to get things back on track again. And that's okay. We got a few Jerichos to face. And even after that, we're going to be facing Jerichos as a church. And the burden of it all. I thought about the burden of it all with Jericho. Facing those huge intimidating walls, facing that Jericho, the burden of it all will wreak havoc on your minds. For Joshua, his Jericho was a real city towering on the barren plains north of the Dead Sea. He might in that moment felt like he was facing it alone. But the Lord shows up in Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. As we break down these three simple verses this morning, I am here to challenge you, to encourage you as a preacher of the gospel that you don't have to face your Jericho alone. Number one, when you feel overwhelmed by your Jericho, you don't have to face your Jericho alone. When you feel overwhelmed by your Jericho, you don't have to face your Jericho alone. Notice the first part of verse 13, when Joshua was by Jericho. There's a lot packed right there in that phrase, when Joshua was by Jericho. He's by Jericho. He's probably viewing Jericho from a distance. Maybe he's feeling overwhelmed by the burden of it all. There's a loneliness to leadership, by the way, that can be disturbing and even depressing when you realize how your decisions affect the lives of other people. Talk to any person in any position of leadership, and they will tell you that it is not for everybody. It is a calling. President Harry Truman once said, "To be president of the United States is to be lonely, very lonely, at times of great decisions." I can guarantee you this morning, based upon experience, that Joshua might have been feeling a little bit of that loneliness. You see, there was the burden of the people. Joshua knew these people. He had outlived one generation. He sees their kids, and they wander in the wilderness. He knew how apt they were to complain and even watch the whole generation die in the wilderness. He had the lead, not showing favoritism to anybody. There was the burden of the people. And sometimes, no matter what you do to help and lead, there'll still be criticism and complaining. There was the burden of the challenge. They had never passed this way before. To go to the promised land to inherit it would be a step of faith due to the giants that were there and the obstacles in the way. There was the burden of the decisions. Every decision influences and affects others. There was the burden of the problems. Every challenge can be a problem to solve. And when that problem's solved, it leads to another problem. And that's just touching the surface as Joshua is by Jericho and he's overwhelmed by the burden of it all. Are you watching this morning and are you facing a burden that you've never faced before and you feel overwhelmed by it? It burdens you. It weighs you down on your mind. Remember, you don't have to face Jericho alone. When you feel overwhelmed by your Jericho. How about overwhelmed by the size of Jericho? I once read this historical account as it concerned Jericho. Successive walls encircled the stone houses. The outer wall, 7 foot wide, 16 feet high. On top of this wall, a second wall was built, 8 feet tall. A citadel guarded the north end. A thick forest of palm trees, 8 miles long, 3 miles wide, stood as a barrier east of the city. Steep hills protected the western wall. High walls protected the sides. Think about the walls, the obstacle. With these things in mind, Joshua had never faced, and the soldiers never faced, such a challenge of these walls of Jericho. They had fought battles in the wilderness, but always on their turf and terms on an open plain. But they had never fought a fortified city. They had never passed this way before. Are you watching and this morning, and are you overwhelmed by the size of the challenge? As if you don't know where to start. As if you don't know how to face the challenge. Do you feel it over your head? Well, I believe that he was overwhelmed by the burden and the size, but he was also overwhelmed by the uncertainty of it. At this point, Joshua knew they had to go and fight Jericho, but he didn't know how they were going to fight. He was waiting on God for the battle plans. But think about all the what-if scenarios. How will they fight back? How will they penetrate the walls? How will they manage to destroy the city with inexperienced soldiers? What if? What if? What if? There's a lot of uncertainty there. How about us? Are you facing a challenge this morning unlike you've never faced before? It looms on the horizon like an angry Jericho. It's imposing. It's strong. It consumes your thoughts. It saps your strength. It wakes you up and it keeps you awake at night. It's the biggest challenge of your life. It sits between you and a promised land, a time of victory. Like Joshua, you can see it, and like Joshua, you know you have to face it. Many times when the challenge is huge, we feel like we're at it alone. It creates fear of the unknown. That is where we must remind ourselves that we walk by faith and not by sight. Step by step of the way, trusting God, allowing Him to lead, waiting on Him to move, depending upon Him in prayer, knowing you don't have to face your Jericho alone. That's my first point. When you feel overwhelmed by your Jericho, you don't have to face your Jericho alone. Number two, the next part of verse 13, I see when you look up from your Jericho, you know you don't have to face your Jericho alone. When you look up from your Jericho, notice verse 13. He lifted his eyes and look. He refocused his attention from his Jericho to a person. The text says, behold, a man stood. Are you facing a Jericho level challenge in your life? Do you face walls that are too high to breach and too thick to crack? Are you facing a difficulty or a defeat that keeps you from going forward? Note that when Joshua was by his Jericho, he lifted his eyes up and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him. And you know the Bible was famous for surprise encounters in the Old Testament. Joshua here was by his Jericho. He looks up and he sees a man. Who was this man? Well, he certainly wasn't a ghost. Nothing in this text tells us or leads us to conclude that this person was anything but flesh and bone. Well, who was this man? He wasn't an angel. We're tempted to think so because, after all, angels have swords and angels can take fleshly form and angels have courage and defy enemies. But here's the difference. Angels do not accept worship. We don't worship angels. We see Joshua worshiping. Had this person been an angel, he would have refused Joshua's worship like the angel did to John in Revelation 19, verse 10. But this visitor accepted it and encouraged it later on in the passage. Well, who was this man? He wasn't mortal. He wasn't an angel or a ghost or a vision, which leaves us only one option who this man is, and that was Jesus Christ. God incarnate. Jesus Christ, B.C., in the Old Testament, he would show up different times. What Jesus did in Bethlehem for us, he did near Jericho for Joshua. He became flesh and paid his servant a visit. The commander spoke to his commander. Think about it. Jesus, B.C. Remember Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was chosen before the foundation of the world. The normal restrictions of time and place do not apply to our Lord. We would be wrong to limit his ministry to 33 years in Israel. Long before Jesus ate with Zacchaeus in Jericho, he shared a moment with Joshua near Jericho. So he refocuses attention to a person. Now we see he refocuses attention to a plan. Notice it says opposite him. Think about this. Joshua, overwhelmed by the size, the burden, the uncertainty of his Jericho, still believed on the Lord, and he knew the Lord had a plan and simply waited upon that plan in prayer. Think about this. Joshua had read the book of the law that Moses had said to the Lord after Israel had made the golden calf. If your presence doesn't go before us, do not bring us up from here. Exodus 33 verse 15. Also, the Lord had promised to be with Joshua in chapter 1 as he was with Moses. And now he would reaffirm that promise in a very personal way. Like Moses, Joshua refused to move until he was sure that this was the Lord's plan and that his presence was with him. So he refocuses attention to a person and his plan, but he refocuses attention to a power. There's a sword drawn in his hand in the text here. Note the power of this man, the Lord here. A sword was drawn. The sword of the Lord. The Word of God. The very Word of God that points to Jesus Christ. There's the symbolism. Joshua lifts his eyes. He sees Jesus. We must also look up when our burdens and challenges face us and when our problems make us feel alone. I thought about Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. Well, whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Throughout Scripture in your life, help comes when you lift up your eyes from off your circumstances. Remember, His presence is part of your inheritance as a believer. He will come to you. He may come in the form of a passage of Scripture or the kindness of a friend. This much is certain: God comes to His people. We must refocus our attention, and that only comes through prayer. Well, here's my third point. When I'm overwhelmed by my Jericho, when you pray about your Jericho, when you pray about your Jericho, you don't have to face your Jericho alone. Notice what it says in verse 13 and 14. And Joshua went to him. We see he's talking to the commander now. That's an example of prayer. See, he was looking at his Jericho and he's thinking he's facing alone, and he looks up off the circumstances and he sees the Lord. Now he goes to him. He's talking to him. There's prayer. There's a question of concern. He asks this question: are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Note and appreciate this man's courage as he walks up to the Lord boldly in prayer. With Joshua, there was no compromise. You're either for the Lord and His people or you're against them. And with this in mind, it's good and right to come before the Lord with boldness, with questions of concern. Joshua's concern was if this man was their enemy or their friend, and the concerns could be different. Now understand, the Lord is revealing Himself to Joshua here. We know who this person is by reading the Scripture, but there's an answer of comfort after this question of concern. He says, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Note his response. He asks, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he says, no, neither. God doesn't take sides. He's never against His children. Even these evil Canaanites who long ago turned the idols were still candidates for His grace and for His mercy. Had Jericho turned and repented, God would have received him as He received Rahab, who lived in Jericho, for He is for His children. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Note that though God answers yes, no, or wait, the answer will always be in comfort as we are sensitive to His Spirit and to the promises of His Word. So His comfort to Joshua was that he came to him as a captain. The Lord always comes with us, comes to us when we need Him and in the way we need Him. To Abraham, He came as a pilgrim. to Jacob, the wrestler. He came as a wrestler. To Moses, a burning bush. To Joshua, here, a captain. What a moment it was. I am the commander of the army of the Lord, Jesus declared. The human eye saw two armies, the Canaanites and the Israelites. Actually, there's a third army, God's army, his angels. That's the heavenly host referred to, Psalm 103. We can be sure of the angels of God, the heavenly host. They are mighty in power. They're many in number. And Jesus is the commander of them all. There's spiritual warfare we see. The message is unmistakable. Joshua, Jericho may have its walls, but Joshua, you have more than what Jericho has. You have me. You have the Lord. He is with you. What a comfort there. What an answer. Now Joshua was ready to move after being answered to prayer. Isn't that the word that Joshua needed before he faced his Jericho? A reminder of the mighty presence of our Lord Jesus. Isn't that what any of us need? We need to know that God is near. We're never alone. In our darkest hour, in our deepest questions, the Lord is there, and He knows, and He promises He's never going to leave us. Don't be tempted by your feelings. Go with what you know. Your feelings are always changing. I thought about this illustration about this. I've been watching my kids a lot during quarantine while Stephanie's working. And many times I have to walk in the kitchen and cook for my kids. And both my kids, Ella and Liam both, will take turns. They'll walk in the kitchen just to make sure I'm there. And they're comforted to know that Daddy's there. He has not left them or forsaken them. You learn a lot about our relationship with our Heavenly Father by being a father. And I want to tell you this morning, you need to know this. Your Father is here. Here's the commander, here with his heavenly host. Think about that promise. He is with you. He's still in charge. He's still on the throne. He hasn't left. Nothing takes him by surprise. You'll never face a Jericho alone. So we see his confidence here, a position of confidence. God had promised to be with Jericho. Not with Jericho, but with Joshua. The people prayed the Lord would be with him. The enemy knew that God was with Israel, and Joshua had encouraged his people. Now Joshua was experiencing the reality of that promise. The Lord met him here as the captain of the Lord's armies. Joshua would recall the song they sung at the Red Sea, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." And it was a great encouragement to know that God was there. So after seeing these three things, we have to understand, we have to realize we're not facing our Jericho alone. As it concerns prayer, these three principles, let's see this takeaway. Let's look at the application here. Here's our application from this text. Before you focus on Jericho, focus on the Lord. Let me say that again. Before you focus on your Jericho, focus on the Lord. Joshua prayed, he waited before he moved on to Jericho. And that's an example to us. When God showed up, it affected Joshua's response in three ways. And we look in verse 14 and 15. When we pray about our Jericho, whatever the obstacle is, we can either choose to look at the Jericho and be fixated on it and allow our minds to play tricks on us and be depressed and down and discouraged, or we can look up at the captain of the army and we know his presence is with us. And when we do that, and when we pray, we see in verse 14, we will respond in worship. It says, Joshua fell on his face and worshiped, attributed worth to him. He worshiped him. As soon as the person of Christ was recognized, he fell to his face and worshiped. Think about this. Joshua was like a five-star general. 40,000 soldiers saluted as he passed. His tent was like the Oval Office. 2 million people looked up to him. Yet in the presence of God, he fell on his face and he worshiped. We're never so strong or so mighty that we cannot worship the Lord. Worshipless people have no power than themselves to call on. The worshipless heart faces Jericho alone. We also will respond in surrender in verse 14. What does my Lord say to his servant? when you're overwhelmed by your burdens and your challenges, when you lay them before the Lord and surrender, the burden rolls away. You're trusting the Lord to fight for you. Give all those worries to Him. Give all those burdens to Him. Like Joshua, look to Jesus to comfort you. Turn your gaze or your focus off the Jericho for a moment onto the Lord Jesus. I really believe this. Nobody in the camp of Israel knew about their commanders meeting with the Lord that day. But that meeting made the difference, I really believe, between success and failure on the battlefield. I quoted this on Facebook on Friday, but I want to give you this quote again. Watchman Nee, great Christian from years ago, said this: not until we take the place of a servant can he take his place as Lord. Not until we take the place of a servant in surrender can he take his place as Lord. Every father, mother, pastor, Christian leader is second in command to the Lord. And when we forget this fact, when we forget the fact that this is the Lord's church, He died for it, He's the commander, He's in charge of it. When we forget that, we will move toward defeat and failure. The Lord came to Joshua that day, not just to help him, but to lead him. Because without me, ye can do nothing, John 15, verse 5. We will also respond in reverence. Take your sandal off your foot. There's a mirror there, a reminder from the burning bush experience with Moses. Joshua was standing in a heathen territory, but because God was with them, he was standing on holy ground. If we're obeying the will of God, no matter where he leads us, we're on holy ground and we had better behave accordingly. I like this significant sequence here. First, you see humble worship, a holy walk, and in heavenly warfare. Hey, that parallels Ephesians. Joshua first bowed the knee, Ephesians 3:14. He submitted to a holy walk, Ephesians 4:1, 4:17, Ephesians 5:2. Then he goes out to battle the enemy in the power of the Lord, Ephesians 6:10. You see how this mirrors Ephesians. All Joshua had to do was listen to God's word, obey God's orders, and God would do the rest. God had already given Jericho to Israel. Now they had to step up by faith and claim it for their own by obedience. How about us? Well, is there reverence in our Christian life and walk? Is there surrender? Is there worship? And that comes when we focus off of our Jericho and focus on Him who knows that, when we know that we don't face it alone. In conclusion, don't go to your Jericho without first going to your commander, our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, let Him remind you of His ever-present host of angels under His command. Let Him assure you of His power. He has given you that promise in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your Jericho may be strong, but Jesus is stronger. Let Him be your strength when you're weak. The main lesson of Joshua chapter 5 as a whole is that we must be a spiritually prepared people if we're going to do the Lord's work successfully and glorify His name. Instead of rushing into battle or the burden, we must take time to be holy. And that only comes through prayer. Hey, how about you this morning? During this season where we cannot get out much, this is a perfect time to take time to be holy. To take time to feed your soul. To take time to look up. Let me point you to Jesus this morning. Because of what He did at Calvary's cross, He died for you and He died for me. He was buried, rose again. He conquered death, my friend. He conquered sin. He was the substitute for our punishment. And because of that, He is our Lord. You don't have to face your Jericho alone. Do you know Him as your personal Savior this morning? Has there ever been a time you've honestly said, Lord, I'm a sinner, and the Holy Spirit's convicted you of your sins, and you've looked up and you've seen what Christ did for you? Have you accepted that sacrifice for your sins? That's the number one question you must ask yourself and answer in this life. Because this life's so temporal, eternity's forever. Do you know my Lord? Do you know Him? And for those of you this morning who are watching and you know Him as your Savior, you're a believer, Maybe you're burdened down by worry and guilt and anxiety. Look to Jesus. The same person that saved you, gave you the grace to save you, will give you the grace to make it through each and every day as you grow in Him. He's allowing things to happen to grow us. Respond in faith. Look to Him. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You don't have to face your Jericho alone. Well, that's all I have this morning. Thank you so much for listening and watching. And if you're here and you don't know Christ, I want to encourage you. Just put a message on inbox the Facebook page. One of our administrators will be happy to talk to you about our Lord Jesus and how He can save you. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. And I want to thank you once again for watching. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day you've given to us. Thank you for this message. Thank you for this incredible truth, this incredible thought from your word. Lord, I pray you use it to speak to hearts this morning. Be with each and every person. And Lord, I pray anybody in the sound of my voice that recognizes their need for a Savior, Lord, I pray you would convict their hearts and allow them to make that step of faith. We pray for people this morning. Give us a great rest of the day on this Lord's Day. We love you. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, once again, thanks for watching. Have a great day. And I guess I'll see you on Facebook again on Tuesday evening. Thanks. Have a good day.